SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organisation a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up, the number of scams reported on the rise. Japan's yen continues to weaken, and we take a look at the fallout of BHP's failed tilt at Anglo American. That's next. It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Monday, the 29th of April, 2024. The Australian share market rose today. We'll have the details with Kyle Rodder from Capital.com. But first, to the ACCC, which says $2.47 billion was lost last year in scam-related activity, with investment scams causing the most harm. While the total amount is down 13%, the number of reported scams have risen by 18% to 601,000. For more, Claudia Farhart spoke with Stephanie Tonkin from the Consumer Action Law Centre.
$2.74 billion in just one year being lost to scams is an unacceptable amount of money. And we are seeing that certain groups of people are targeted more. And to me, that says that businesses that are letting through scams through to consumers need to be on higher alert. They can detect and protect certain groups, like people from older age groups or people from culturally and linguistically diverse groups as well. So there are measures that can be put in place to protect consumers.
Yeah, and so today the point was made by the ACCC that, you know, social media companies can target ads to certain people based off what they like. Scammers seem to be using these platforms in the same way. It seems to be the one area that they haven't been able to get on top of, social media. What needs to be done in that space?
This is very much an ecosystem problem. And the good news in the report is that where banks and the financial services regulator, ASIC, has taken targeted measures and invested in prevention work, losses to scams have reduced. So the good news is that when you invest the right level, we do see a reduction in scams. But we're all receiving so many scams messages, targeted ads and links that are scam links. So the problem is so mainstream and so big that the level of investment in preventing scams is not where it needs to be to protect Australians.
Yeah, absolutely. So for the people who have been targeted and been scammed, what advice can you give them? What are the steps they should take?
So if you have lost money to a scam, you can contact your bank and try to seek some level of reimbursement. Unfortunately, the laws now and what's proposed by the Assistant Treasurer is still entirely silent on compensation and reimbursement of scams losses. And that's not right. Reimbursement will be the driver of investment by business in protecting their customers. But until they're on the hook for that level of investment, we're not going to see enough change to protect consumers from scams. You know, we're all receiving huge numbers of SMSs that are scams, emails, contacts over the phone. You have to be really cautious because not enough is being done to protect consumers at the moment. So be as cautious as you can, unfortunately. and maybe even speak to your local MP about strengthening laws, including reimbursement of scams losses for consumers who really, it's very difficult to protect yourself from these innovating criminals that are the scammers.
That is Stephanie Tonkin there from the Consumer Action Law Centre.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
The Australian share market started the week off on a positive note. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.8% to 7,637. For more, I spoke with Kyle Rodder from Capital.com.
Bit of a rebound after Friday, and we did get a pretty strong lead from Wall Street. You know, clearly we're getting sort of some nervousness in the market at the moment about the interest rate outlook in the United States, but tech earnings so far have been fairly solid. And once again, and for a second straight quarter, we've effectively seen some of these big tech companies redeem a lot of the S&P 500's performance and lead to what is now expected to be a stronger than forecast earnings season. So boosted sentiment on Wall Street that flowed through to the ASX 200 today, which was able to reclaim some of Friday's losses.
You mentioned there briefly US interest rates. So the US Fed Reserve meets this week. What's likely to happen? And what about the future of interest rates there?
I think the markets are preparing for a change in tone from the Fed in its official language, and that's certainly based on some of the commentary we've been getting from Fed speakers, as well as Fed Chair Jerome Powell in the last couple of weeks. Of course, as we well know, the data in the States has been very strong, and there's some fears of fairly persistent inflation, perhaps re-acceleration inflation, and that sort of dreaded re-anchoring of inflation expectations. And as a result, we're sort of expecting that the Fed won't move policy, obviously, at this particular meeting, but might dial back some of its rhetoric around the potential for future interest rate cuts. So it should be fairly significant. It has been what's caused the downside risk or the sell-off we've seen on Wall Street over the last few weeks. And again, although no moves in rates are expected, certainly a change in tone is likely to arrive.
I guess as a result, the Australian dollar has seen a little bit of support lately. It's at about 65.5 US. But what about against the Japanese yen? The Aussie dollar is at a 17-year high against that currency. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, the Japanese yen has been effectively in free fall for a couple of weeks, and it comes down in essence to interest rate differentials and changing economic fundamentals between the United States and Japan in particular. Obviously, the Bank of Japan met last week, kept interest rates on hold, and gave really no indication of the prospect of future rate hikes, even though the market has that priced in. So what we've got now is because rate cuts have been priced out of the market in the United States, more or less the interest rates in Japan remain somewhere around 0%. That's flowing into money into the US dollar, which is causing a fairly significant and rapid appreciation. And so far, it doesn't look like the BOJ or the finance ministry over there are doing anything to intervene. There's been a lot of volatility today because Japan has been on a public holiday. So we saw it break 160 briefly before rallying again by about 2%. But it just goes to show some of the volatility in currency markets at the moment. And this is all being driven, of course, by differences in interest rate expectations.
Let's talk some company news. Last week, the big story was that of BHP's $60 billion proposal to buy Anglo American. It would have made it the world's biggest copper company. But Anglo knocked it back, saying it undervalues the future potential of the company. What do you think happens now?
Well, the next big event is going to be the AGM for Anglo American. That's in about a week's time. And what the company has effectively said is that it sees BHP's bid as being a little bit undervalued, and that, you know, it's still willing to come to the table, but more or less it needs to get a better price for the asset. BHP has said it's willing to do that, but it really does depend on the commentary coming out of the company, probably around the AGM and beyond, to get a bit of a sense of where fair value happens to be. BHP clearly wants to make a fairly significant play into the copper space. It's very much its renewable energy play and future play as it looks to transition its focus away from iron ore to, again, those sort of future renewable EV sorts of sensitive metals. But it's all about where the parties come to meet on fair value. If Anglo American is asking for a valuation that's far richer than BHP is potentially looking for, BHP will probably walk away, but it will look at other opportunities to try and make its footprint in the copper space. Again, that AGM next week from Anglo American is probably the next key event to watch.
Any other company news catching your eye today?
Nothing in particular, really. Just some of the dynamics around market pricing with interest rates, and then subsequently the knock-on effect that has onto some of the segments within the market. So gold miners down fairly significantly as gold prices pull back to reflect interest rate expectations. We've also seen some interesting dynamics in the gas market too, pushing the likes of Strike Energy and Boss Energy higher as well. So keeping an eye on those. So it's still a very macro story, broadly speaking, for me. It really does gear up well for the Fed this week, as well as some other major tech earnings out of Amazon and Apple, which will certainly inform the profit outlook for US companies and, you know, therefore sentiment in Australian markets as well.
And where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Well, in my opinion, I think equities still look a little bit richly valued. If you do sort of get a sense of what has happened over the last, 3 months in particular, interest rate cuts being priced out at a time where earnings expectations have moderated a little bit, it would seem that equities still look a little bit richly valued. It really does fall back now on how companies report and whether this expectations of strong economic growth, which has led to a pricing out of interest rate cuts, leads to at least an uplift in earnings expectations, especially in the United States. Again, for me now, it looks like equities might be a little bit richly valued just across the board, but we're looking at some of those triggers, whether it be rate expectations or earnings expectations, as to whether we might see a renewed uplift in stocks or whether, as I believe, there might be a little bit more downside before the market reaches fair value.
That is Kyle Rotter there from Capital.com. This SBS On The Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.